Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the full year report 2017-2018 analyst conference call. I'm Andrea, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Thomas Haweadick, CEO of Creologics. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, I will give you a quick overview of Creologics at a glance. Then, our CFO, Philippe Wirth, will guide you through the facts and figures, and our Chief Strategy Officer, Dr. Richard Trathwa, will have an overview of the open banking system in our company. And I will finish with an outlook of the Creologics Group. You already received a preliminary information about our performance, which was pleasing. It confirms that our focus on the digital banking hub, the investments in our talent management, and our acquisitions bears fruit. For the third time in a row, we closed the financial year with record sales mounting 16.4% to 87.1 million Swiss francs. Recurring sales increased by 15%. Our EBITDA margin reached 8.1%, which was slightly below the previous year's level. Philippe is going to explain the numbers in a bit. But before that, I'd like to show you how Creologics enhances, grows, and expands. We listen to the needs of customers and customers' clients. This year, for example, we asked more than 3,000 bank customers in the U.K., in Germany, in Austria, and Switzerland about their expectations from their banks and their preferred banking method. Let's have a look at two of the results. For example, in the domestic market, already one-fifth of Swiss banking customers conduct their banking businesses exclusively online. This share is expected to exponentially grow in future, especially when millennials and members of the Generation Z are brought into the focus as bank customers. However, the digitization of banking business is still at the beginning. David Embrer, CEO and co-founder from the bank-building consultancy firm 11FS, highlighted, "Digital banking is only 1% finished. That isn't a criticism or anything negative about the industry. It just means that we've only begun to scratch the surface of what's possible." And here, we at Creologics, we fully agree. Imagine the potential if digital banking still has 99% to go. Because this gives us the motivation to continuously invest into increasing our footprint in international markets and into our offering. We are establishing competence centers in each of our locations. The most recent one is in Coburg, Germany, which we set ourselves into position to offer hosting services for banks and strengthen our competencies in our advisory range. In a nutshell, we develop and invest in our teams. Our teams develop innovative and proven solutions with the digital banking hub as the centerpiece for our customers all over the world. For example, so-called public APIs. They enable our customers to progress on their digitization strategy for enhanced customer satisfaction. Our PSD2 compliance solution meets the highest security standards and enables third parties to gain access through an established standard. Creologics Open Platform strategy enables our customers to significantly increase customer satisfaction through a larger range of products and thus contribute to the digitization of customer clients. With the acquisition of the digital banking supplier Innovis in January of this year, We established ourselves in the Middle East and enhanced our product portfolio and expertise in the field of Islamic banking. Our joint solutions follows the principles of the Sharia in every form. For example, in business banking with dedicated apps. This solution, in particular, allows customers to view account details, complete transactions, and take advantage of additional services offered through these smart applications wherever they are. You see, the functionalities are similar to our other offerings. And with the expertise in Islamic banking, we also paved the way to new opportunities in the Asian region, for example, in Malaysia. Or take this example of multi-banking. Digital client portals enable a 360-degree view of the existing business relationships. For example, a company has with an intuitive dashboard user interfaces. This service provides genuine added value for banks' customers since they have a focus on customers' requirements for simple, fast, and transparent processes. In addition to providing useful summaries of the most important information, client portals can also be used to exchange documents, information, and data. In terms of expanding the range of services, we incorporate feedback from the clients into our developments. We are proud of our customers, and we are also proud and humble at the same time to receive regularly astonishing awards for our products. For example, from Asia, shortly after strengthening our position in our office in Singapore, Cologics was awarded as Best Mobile Tablet App Developer. The Technology Award is presented by the leading magazine Asian Private Banker and recognizes innovations achievements from Asia's rapidly growing financial technology sector. We were also awarded for our Cologics Financial Advisory Workbench. The solution provides extensive support to advisors in the customer care process in preparing for and conducting client meetings. Judges at the 2018 Systems in the City Awards, organized by technology consultancy Goodacre in UK, picked Cologics as the winner of the Best Web Front-End Solution, recognizing our work developing new user interfaces and mobile apps in partnership with a range of leading wealth management firms. We challenge our solutions regularly and take new market requirements into account. This leads to innovative solutions. Our latest banking app, called Gravity, was highlighted as the best of show product in London at Finovet in February this year. More than 1,200 attendees at the Innovation Trade Fair were won over by the intuitive design of our Gravity app. Using our open banking platform and APIs, the app allows all account information to be bundled at a glance. Details of secondary banks can also be displayed centrally. And this solution reflects the current need, as shown in our survey. 60% of our 3,000 interviewees would like to have a single banking app that could be used to trigger all financial processes. The stronger the demand for example consolidating solutions, the more customers understand the positive effects of open banking. The open platform strategy with our digital banking hub as its centerpiece enables financial services organizations to adding third-party offers to their portfolio, and so to significantly increase customer satisfaction. Richard Radwa provides you with the details on this part, but before that, to Philipp and the figures.
Thanks, Thomas. Hello, everybody. Let me walk you through some of our key performance measures of the year 2017-2018. Sales were 8.1 million Swiss francs for the year. That's an increase of 16.4% in Swiss francs and 13.1% in local currency. This strong growth we were able to achieve despite a significant shift towards SaaS rent models in Germany, which exceeded our expectations. Over the last 3 years, we were able to grow on average 20% per year in local currency. On the next slide, we outline sales growth by category. In the year, recurring revenue grew 15% and accounts now for 38% of our total sales. I would like to highlight sales from SaaS and hosting, which increased by 1.2 million Swiss franc or 27% compared to prior year, and is now 7% of our revenue, up from 6% in the prior year. We estimate that this increase would translate into additional sales and EBITDA of about 4 million Swiss francs under the traditional license model. Product sales were 63% of total sales compared to 62% in the prior year. Now let's turn to other key metrics and let me walk you through the key items for the full year. EBITDA amounted to 7 million Swiss franc, which is a decrease of 4% over the prior year amount of 7.3 million. The EBITDA margin was 8.1%, a 170 basis point decline from the prior year. As a reminder, we expense all R&D efforts immediately. We invest more than 20% of sales into the development of products. Nevertheless, this result is below our expectation and is mainly due to a continued increased amount of short-term freelancers compared to prior year to cope with the demand, mainly in Germany. A switch to the SaaS rent model, also mainly in Germany. We also had a slower than expected start of InOffice within the group, where we experienced more distraction from market focus due to post-merger integration projects. Improving our cost structure is one of our key focus areas going forward, and we expect to have savings in the range of 1 to 1.5 million Swiss francs by leveraging our teams in Spain and our outsourcing partners in Serbia. We are also increasingly working with implementation partners. Examples are projects in Germany and Asia that will be delivered externally to a large extent. A couple of final comments on the P&L. Financial expense net was 0.4 million and continues to decline as we have more conversion of our convertible bond. Income from associates was basically zero and is the net number of 0.1 million gain from LXCP S&S and 0.1 million loss in Contis. In July, we have announced that we acquire the remaining 80% share of BS&S, which will leave Contis as the only associate going forward. A quick word on our tax rate. As a reminder, when you acquire a company via a share deal, then the goodwill depreciation is normally not tax deductible. In the year 2017-18, we had non-tax deductible goodwill amortization of 2.9 million Swiss francs. Adjusted for this impact, our group average tax rate was 24% in 2017-18, which is in the expected range. Moving to earnings per share, we report here for the first time an adjusted earnings per share number. This is calculated as diluted earnings per share excluding goodwill amortization. We only exclude goodwill amortization, nothing else like share-based payment or other amortizations. This makes our operating performance directly comparable to other companies that report EPS under different international accounting standards. We therefore believe that this is an important number for our investors. Adjusted earnings per share for the year was 2.39 francs, which is 8% below prior year. The main driver for this, of course, is the decline in our EBITDA. Okay, that's it for the P&L. And now we'll discuss some other metrics. In the free cash flow was 1.4 million. This compares to 6.9 million in the prior year. The reduction is mainly due to timing of payments of receivables and prepayments. We expect this to normalize over the years. Our balance sheet remains strong with an equity ratio of 63%. As of today, more than half of the bond has been converted into shares, and we remain confident that it will be fully converted by its due date. After the year end on July 4th, we announced the acquisition of LXEBS&S. This acquisition will be consolidated as of July 2018 and has no impact on the annual results. Okay, that's it from my side, and let me hand over to Richard.
Yes, hello everyone. So open banking is a topic that is currently on everyone's mind in banking. And I would therefore like to give you the latest information on that topic from our perspective. Yeah, at least the digital bankers have become a little bit accustomed to the open bank vault, the open data bank vault, a scary image for every traditional banker. Banks had to open their data vaults since the beginning of this year, and customers can choose where and how their bank data should be used. This opening is called PSD2, is required by law in the European Union, and thus also provides for intensive conversation in the rest of the digital banking world. As shown in the picture with this symbolic wave, the customer data, but only at the request of the customer, leave the bank on the left side and are taken up by third parties and further processed on the right side. But the flow of data is not one way. So you will see another open bank vault on the right-hand side picking up that data flowing out of the other banks. It is precisely this two-way view that banks need to adopt to use open banking for building up their digital future, because openness goes in all directions. Yeah, here you can see in three steps which benefits a bank has in looking at open banking as a two-way traffic. Phase one on the far left, you can see how it used to be. There was a direct digital connection between the customers and the bank. No one interfered, but the bank's offer was limited to what the bank itself could offer its customers. In phase two, in the second stage, the bank opens up to third parties according to the new PSD2 regulations. These third parties can be fintechs or e-commerce providers or third parties of all types, such as insurers. What does that mean for banks? They lose direct contact with their customer. This is a kind of an unbundling of their business. So let's go into phase three. In this third case, the bank actively tackles the issue and uses the open banking option itself to bundle and orchestrate third-party services for its own clientele. Customers get everything from a single source because the bank assembles an attractive financial ecosystem that covers all their needs. And of course, every bank has to ask itself, why giving only if you can take two? So why stop at step or phase two without doing phase three? And that's exactly where we are helping the banks with our digital banking hub. So customers do not want to have to change their bank to profit from all the advantages of digital banking, but they want to be able to handle all financial matters from a single app. You have heard that already from Thomas. He gave you the overall figure. This is confirmed by this representative survey we carried out in our most important markets. And it is interesting to see how the progress of open banking is reflected in the results of the three assessed markets. The longer the positive effects of orchestrations could already be used by bank customers, the higher the need for orchestrated banking services is. In Switzerland, on the left-hand side, PSD2 is not applicable, at least not yet. And therefore, account orchestration is only slowly gaining its first friends in the banking world. You see that also with the low adaptation. There has not been so much orchestration in the UK either in the past, but the open banking movement is quite strong, and very loud, and also because of the emergence of the new so-called challenger banks. You see, the need for this one app is already much higher. And in Germany, the outdated HBCI standard, which has existed for two decades, which at least allowed aggregated account views, it shows now that there is appetite for more and better services in that area. And that's where this appetite is the biggest. So you see, the more customers use open banking, the more they like it. And we think they will like it a lot in the future. So with our public surveys, we are not the only ones placing the subject of open banking at the top of the digitization agenda. If you look at the publications in the online and specialized press, you have been flooded in the last few months with kind of professional confession letters to open banking. And here you have some excerpts from these articles. Analysts, consultants, and bankers, they all agree. Open banking has arrived. Open banking is irresistible. And as you can see here, some pioneers have seized the opportunity and already tried to position themselves with the open banking topic. Very early in 2012, Crédit Agricole tested whether its own banking services could be provided in the form of APIs. That was already in 2012. As you might easily see on the chart, the regulatory announcements around open banking have been the drivers in recent years to get the innovators moving. But as you have heard in the first part by Thomas, there are not nearly 1% of banks on this chart. So there is still a lot of work to do. Digital transformation is placing high demands on banks. So how do they have to position themselves to survive in the world of open banking? Or even better, how do they have to position themselves to be able to build up new digital businesses? We have compiled our practical experience on this slide. Very important is a unique customer experience. Therefore, the customers are explicitly listed on half of the success criteria on this slide. In addition, it is important to have an agile and efficient approach towards open banking. Time to market is very important. And it takes the ability to test new digital business models without cumbersome efforts and to quickly be able to implement them. Digital revenue streams will become more and more important in the future. All this ensures that there's a clear differentiation in the digital offering of a bank. Because if the most important branch is on the internet, then it must not look the same as the competition. Yeah, and the Crelogix Digital Banking Hub was created specifically for building up this type of financial ecosystems. Crelogix is not a disruptor, but an enabler for banks. And in order for banks to be able to create such ecosystems, they need a technology platform that is able to digitally orchestrate the widest range of services, to deliver it to the customer as they wish at any time or any situation. And it has to be in a safe, reliable, and attractive way, and everything in one seamless experience. Thanks to the large number of prefabricated modules, a bank can start working with the Crelogix Digital Banking Hub right away. And the system's openness makes it easy and efficient to combine own banking services with third-party offerings and to create innovative new business models. On this picture, you can see how a bank can use our Digital Banking Hub in an optimal way. So to say, banks are surrounded by hundreds of innovative startups with new digital business ideas. And the banks can effectively orchestrate whatever their clients want. Other providers in the banking IT world are building so-called fintech marketplaces for their bank customers. But that's nothing but a proprietary and random small collection of fintechs. This concept is outdated. In a world of open banking, it is the bank itself that freely and flexibly assembles its own marketplace from thousands of potential partners who, if serious enough, provide the necessary APIs for a direct cooperation. Why should a bank restrict itself to the small marketplaces of software providers? And in the next step, looking forward, it will be the end customers themselves who put together their own and personalized marketplaces, of course, with the friendly support of their local bank. That's exactly why leading banks need the Creologics Digital Banking Hub. Yeah, so finally, let's take a look into the future of open banking and brush up a little bit on dry European Union regulations with the help of the Star Wars saga. Yeah, so we tried to use the movie titles from Star Wars to explain the development in the PSD2 area. Today, we are in the middle of the first four episodes, but as with Star Wars, there will certainly be many more in the future. What happened until now? The first episode began in 2007, supposedly quite harmless by just standardizing payments between European countries. But this laid the foundation for the next steps. That's why we call it The Force Awakens. The second episode started in 2015, that is from the official PSD2 acceptance by the European Union. And it lasted till today. Many new fintech players built their business models on the future possibilities of open banking, and they dare to fight against the somewhat dusty incumbents. Therefore, we call it the attack of the clones, because there are many of these clones. What's up next? We believe that as soon as a sufficiently large number of digitally oriented banks are established, they will join forces and push for further data opening. The contrary of what they do today, because they will understand the huge business opportunities of building the best digital ecosystems, and therefore they will be needing more data to aggregate. We call that the Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, and since we want to end the story on a positive note, the fourth version of PSD is called A New Hope, because the banking world will settle on a new digital balance. We don't know yet where this new balance will be. But what we know is that the winners will certainly be the bank customers. Thank you very much, and I will give back to Thomas for the outlook.
Thank you, Richard. Our outlook. Creologics Group plans further growth in the future. For the 2018-2019 financial year, we expect to exceed the sales threshold of 100 million Swiss francs for the first time. In the midterm, our annual sales growth of 20% is expected. In addition, despite high investments into the product offering, market expansion, and the ongoing shift from the traditional license model to rental/SaaS models, we expect a margin improvement. In the midterm, our profitability, EBITDA, of more than 15% is targeted. We create digital leaders. This is our vision. Our passion is to empower our customers on their journey to a successful digital future. In an intensive exchange with our customers, new user-friendly digital solutions for retail banking, corporate banking, and wealth management are realized, taking new market requirements into account. We bundle our strengths on a global basis. And with the complete integration of our acquisitions, we continue our own journey. Thank you very much for your attention.
The first question is from Remo Rosenau from Helvetische Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I would like to go back to the figures again. As you admitted yourself, the business year came in with a lower than expected profitability. And the three main reasons you mentioned were the freelancer issue, then the faster than expected switch from licenses upfront to software service, particularly in Germany. And then you also mentioned a few post-merger integration issues at Innofis. So could you, you know, work out a bit the three elements and the impact they had on the profitability? Because if I go back a few months, we would probably have expected around 2 to 3 million higher EBITDA at the end of the year. So there must have been an element of surprise here. And the freelancers, quite frankly, the problem exists already for quite a while. So doesn't seem to be the big surprise factor. So we are left with the other two elements. So where did the surprise come from, really? What are the three elements? How much did they account for in terms of lower profitability? If you could quantify that, and how much of that is one-off, i.e. what will this year look like? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. I think I take this one. So yes, the sort of surprise really was, you know, a couple of months ago, the switch of the customers to the SaaS rental model. When we forecasted the second half of the year in the half year results, we had our prospects there, but all these customers asked us to rent the software rather than to buy them all. In total, those were five customers, new customers in Germany, which we believed at least some of them would buy, right? In the traditional license model. We did calculate the impact on that one, and we estimate this impact around 4 million Swiss francs, 3.8 to be precise, in both sales and in EBITDA, all the way down to EBIT, earnings before tax even. So if you only put that in perspective, we would already be above the margin from last year. So that was, I think, the most impacted surprise, or the surprise with the most impact. You're right, the short-term freelancer issue we have for a while. We tried to fix that. We are in a good progress now. We've also talked about it when we acquired Innofis, that this is a good base for us to leverage nearshore capabilities in a area in the European Union where salaries are lower than in others. We are tackling this now. We have to prioritize, though. We have to make sure that Innofis first is on a good base, and that we can continue to leverage their opportunities in the Middle East. We have done this now in the first couple months, and now we are ready to start hiring and implementing a nearshore center in Barcelona to help us developing and delivering our products globally. The third element that you mentioned was the slower than expected start from Innofis. Yes, so of course I know that all of you have read the listing prospectus and that you make your own assumptions. They were frankly not on the level that you see in this prospectus. So we had lower sales and lower operating profit margins than you would calculate. And mainly because management was highly focused on integrating some ripple effects there. But also we have maybe underestimated some effects around Ramadan. It's a new area now for us where we probably put more emphasis on this seasonality going forward. Basically those are the three main issues or areas around the profitability.
Could you probably explain, these services and software, the impact is at 3.8 million. So if these five new customers had all chosen the old model, they would have paid around about 4 million. Now, however, they will pay software as a service. So, I mean, could it be that you will get less than these 4 million over time because they don't need the full package as they would have taken by buying the license? Or on what time frame will you now get the revenue stream?
Yeah, so no, the package is the same that they get. There are several from a customer side. There's of course many benefits to switch to SaaS, such as cash flow, less cash outflow in the beginning, more operating expense, probably easier, also easier internal approvals to get the software. From our point of view, of course, it makes the revenue stream more predictable. It's more recurring. We also have the benefit that we calculate those rentals in a time frame of maybe 4 years. So you compare a normal license / maintenance model is approximately four times a SaaS rental model. So over 4 to 5 years, we get the same revenue with a SaaS rental model than with a license model. And after that, where with license, you have no additional revenue, right? You have to sell a new license to get additional sales. With rental, you just continue, right? Unless the bank returns the software to you and stop doing online banking, they still pay the rent. It's like you don't just move out of an apartment, you know. So for us, of course, this is beneficial. I think that's why the whole industry is going to this model, because it's a win-win situation for the customers and the provider. And we are confident that of course we are here on the right track, and that makes us our business very attractive.
Okay, but in the short run, I mean, in the current business year, you will still feel this impact of switching from licenses to SaaS, right?
Yeah, so typically you see this with new customers. When we acquire new customers, they typically now ask for these SaaS rental models. That's just by the nature of how the business is transforming, but now we are also pushing this, of course. You know, with our latest acquisition, we have now the full capability to also host these offerings within the German market.
Okay. Now my last question, I mean, taking all these things together, I mean, you know, your midterm target is an EBITDA margin of above 15%, which, however, is kind of a moving target because you mentioned that not the first time, and midterm can be anything. But in fact, it means a doubling of your current margin. And from 8 to 15 plus, that's a long way, but, you know, probably you could also make a statement where you expect to come in this year.
Yeah, so, of course, we work on several fronts. I mentioned the nearshore centers to make sure that we can reduce the amount of freelancers. We, of course, hope that also in-office is going back to normal levels of profitability. And we also have certain or many other operational excellence type projects within the group to improve our margins. You know, work on streamlining our R&D expense, etc. This being said, you know, we of course want to improve our margin. It's difficult to say at this point in time what that exactly means, but I'm sure that we will be back to the, like, at least prior year level, probably even higher.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time.
Thank you very much. And have a wonderful day. Cheers. Bye.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.